You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Tiny Habits. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Tiny Habits, the small changes that change everything by BJ Fogg. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Tiny is mighty, at least when it comes to change. Over the last 20 years, I've found that most everyone wants to make some kind of change. Eat healthier, lose weight, exercise more, reduce stress, get better sleep. We want to be better parents and partners. We want to be more productive and creative. But the alarming levels of obesity, sleeplessness, and stress reported by the media and seen in my Stanford Labs research tell me there is a painful gap between what people want and what they actually do. The disconnect between want and do has been blamed on a lot of things, but people blame it on themselves for the most part. They internalize the cultural message of, it's your fault, you should exercise more, but you aren't doing it, shame on you. I am here to say it isn't your fault, and creating positive change isn't as hard as you think. End quote. That is BJ Fogg, PhD from Tiny Habits. BJ Fogg founded the Behavior Design Lab at Stanford University. He is one of the world's leading authorities on the science of behavior change and has deeply influenced how we think about habit change on both a product development level and a personal level. In this book, he introduces us to the core elements of his Fogg behavior model as we learn that habit change doesn't need to be as hard as we make it. As BJ tells us, I quote, "We are not the problem. Our approach to change is. It's a design flaw, not a personal flaw." A couple other gems to keep in mind, I quote again, "If there's one concept from my book I hope you embrace, it's this. People change best by feeling good, not by feeling bad." Andy tells us the essence of tiny habits is this. Take a behavior you want, make it tiny, find where it fits naturally in your life, and nurture its growth. If you want to create long-term change, he tells us, it's best to start small. Now, if you're looking to optimize your ability to create habits that stick, I think you'll love the book. BJ is the academic authority on the subject. For the record, I'd say this book, James Clear's Atomic Habits, and Stephen Geise's Mini Habits are the top three most practical books on the subject, with Superhuman by Habit tied for that third slot. And as this is one of my favorite subjects, we have a few 101s you might enjoy, including Habits 101, Willpower 101, and Algorithms 101, all of which are linked along with those other book notes in this note. Plus, check out the Algorithms module in our Mastery series, where we help you move from theory to practice to mastery as we use our willpower wisely to install habits that run on autopilot. Now, the book is packed with big ideas, as in ridiculously packed. We'll barely scratch the surface of all the wisdom BJ shares, but I'm excited to share a few of my favorite ideas we can apply to our lives today, so let's jump straight in. First big idea, the elements of behavior, B equals M-A-P, B equals MAP. Quote, "You can change your life by changing your behaviors." You know that. But what you may not know is that only three variables drive those behaviors. The Fogg behavior model is the key to unlocking that mystery. It represents the three universal elements of behavior and the relationship to one another. It's based on principles that show us how these elements work together to drive our every action, from flossing one tooth to running a marathon. Once you understand the behavior model, you can analyze why a behavior happened, which means you can stop blaming your behavior on the wrong things, like character and self-discipline for starters. And you can use my model to design for a change in behavior in yourself and in other people. B equals M-A-P. B equals MAP. Behavior happens when motivation and ability and prompt converge at the same moment. End quote. MAP, motivation, ability, prompt. Welcome to the first words of chapter number one, the elements of behavior. Want to understand why we do any and everything? Well, BJ tells us that we need to understand this simple formula B equals MAP. Behavior is a function of our motivation plus ability plus prompt. As BJ tells us, I quote, a behavior happens when the three elements of MAP, motivation, ability, and prompt, come together at the same moment. Motivation is your desire to do the behavior. Ability is your capacity to do the behavior. And prompt is your cue to do the behavior, end quote. One more time, B equals MAP, B equals MAP. In the book, he presents a super simple and equally powerful little diagram to bring the point home. I link to it in the note. It's worth checking out. And as it turns out, I walked Emerson through this model the other night while we were talking about how to rock a digital sunset. More on that in a moment. For now, here's his version. In the note, I've got a little sketch that Emerson did, copying the one that I did for him. Now, what you want to do is imagine an X and a Y axis. I'm going to walk us through it. Let's take a quick tour through the primary elements of that diagram. First, on the Y axis, we have our motivation. It can be either high or low. Then on the X axis, we have our ability. That can be either low or high, as something can be either hard to do or easy to do. Then we have a prompt. The prompt can show up either above or below what BJ calls the action line. Again, it's going to be helpful for you to look at this and perhaps listen to this while you're looking at the diagram. If our motivation is high and our ability is high, aka it's easy to do, the prompt will fall above the action line and we'll do it. If, on the other hand, we have low motivation and our ability is low, aka it's hard to do, we won't do it. And that's it. Super simple. Equally powerful, you can run all behaviors through that model. Of course, BJ spends the entire book walking us through how to use that model to install the habits we want to rock while deleting those we want to get rid of. For now, let's go back to Emerson in our chat about digital sunsets. Quick context, as you know, I'm all about shutting down the electronics early and moving from deep work to deep love. The other night, I was on Alexandra's phone ordering something from Amazon after the time I usually have it turned off. At which point, Emerson tells me, Daddy, I can make it easier for you to do the digital sunset by putting the phone in the drawer and then putting a lock on it. To which I replied, Buddy, you're absolutely right. That is amazing behavior design. In fact, I'm reading a book right now by the world's leading expert, and you know what he says? Then I might have sketched the fog behavior model and walked him through what it meant. Then I showed him that my motivation to use the phone is relatively high, so we'd need to either reduce that motivation more by reminding myself just how important digital sunset to deep love is for me, and or make it much harder for me to use the phone. Now, his idea of putting the phone in a drawer and locking it up with a key I don't have would be a great job, would do a great job of making it really hard for me to use the phone while also removing the prompt, making it much more likely that I'd engage in the behavior I say I want and not do the things I say I don't want to do. So one more time, B equals MAP. If you feel so inspired, take a moment to run one of your behaviors through that model. Here's to mastering the three variables of our behavior, motivation, plus ability, plus prompt. P.S., quote, it's time to set the record straight and acknowledge that bad behaviors are not fundamentally different from good habits when it comes to basic components. Behavior is behavior. It's always a result of motivation, ability, and a prompt coming together at the same moment, end quote. Again, check out that model, the diagram. It's super powerful. It's worth a few more minutes of your time to really figure it out. Map over one of your behaviors on that model, and you, I believe, will have some insights into the rest of your behaviors. Next big idea, the anatomy of tiny habits. Quote, number one, anchor moment. An existing routine like brushing your teeth or an event that happens like a phone ringing, the anchor moment reminds you to do the new tiny behavior. Number two, the new tiny behavior. A simple version of the new habit you want, such as flossing one tooth or doing two push-ups. You do the tiny behavior immediately after the anchor moment. Number three, instant celebration. Something you do to create positive emotions, such as saying, I did a good job. You celebrate immediately after doing the new tiny behavior. We have anchor A, behavior B, celebration C. A, B, C. Anchor, behavior, celebration, end quote. Now, we now know that B equals map. Now it's time for the ABCs of tiny habits. We'll talk about anchors and celebrations more in a moment. For now, let's talk about the tiny and tiny habits. Now, Stephen Guise wrote a whole book on the theme called Mini Habits. Recall that he tells us to make our habits stupid small and too small to fail. Well, as you might have guessed, B.J. Fogg was the source of a lot of his practical tips. B.J. tells us that one of the best ways to put the prompt above the action line is to make the behavior really, really, really easy to do. Now, it's funny because I'm writing and recording this days after we moved to our new property in the country outside of Austin. We're blessed to have 8.5 acres of wooded tranquility. Emerson and I weed-whacked a running trail around the property last weekend, and I was typing this, with chickens pecking around my new outside desk. My heart rate variability is going through the roof. Laughed as I typed this, but I hit an average of 100 heart rate variability on Aura the other night, which, if you use Aura, you know, is crazy. Now, the place is wonderfully minimally landscaped right around the house, but a few of the areas in our backyard and walkways in the front have a bunch of weeds. So, I decided to approach those weeds with a behavior map. Although I'm not a weed-pulling guy by nature, I am highly motivated as I love this place and want to make it even more zen beautiful. But what really did the trick to install this behavior was making the behavior super easy, as in super crazy easy. How? I went tiny. I told myself that when walking in or out of the house and saw a weed, I'd pull out one weed. Just one tiny little weed. That would be a win worthy of celebration. B, remember, equals motivation. For me, it was create a Zen sanctuary, so it was high. Plus ability, pull out one weed equals easy. Plus the prompt, see a weed equals obvious and above the action line. And I did it. You know what happened? I rocked it. And as you can guess, it's hard to stop after pulling just one weed. Although I didn't require myself to pull out more than one weed, which is a key part of the whole tiny habits approach, once I got in action, I tended to stay in action. We've got a link to a plus one on that, reflecting on Isaac Newton's first law of motion. Once you get in action, you tend to stay in action, which is why BJ wants us to get in action by making it easy to take that first step. And well, let's just say that our landscaping is looking epically weed-free, and I'm about to enter the weed-pulling Hall of Fame. Seriously, pretty epic. Now, all part of a longer chat, BJ goes off on in the book, but for now, what's a habit you'd like to build? How can you make it tiny? Think of the habit you'd like to build. Maybe you've been struggling with it. Exercising for 30 minutes or 60 minutes or meditating for 30 minutes or 60 minutes. How can you make that habit tiny? Like jumbo crazy tiny, like doing one push-up, boom, check the box, celebrate, you're working out. Meditating for 3 breaths, boom, check the box, you're meditating. That would be an example of making a habit tiny. Make it really easy to win. Anchor that behavior to something you already do, which we'll talk more about in a moment, and celebrate those tiny wins, which we'll talk more about in a moment. Then let me know what happens. I think you're going to create some momentum. P.S. There are 7 steps in the behavior design process. Step 1, clarify the aspiration, aka, what do you want to achieve in your life? Step 2, explore behavior options, aka, what can you do to achieve that aspiration? Step number 3, match with specific behaviors, aka, what specifically can you do? Step 4, start tiny, aka, super tiny. Step 5, find a good prompt, aka connect the behavior to something you already do. see the next idea. And step number six, celebrate successes, aka hack your brain's reward centers immediately and intensely. More on that in a moment as well. And step number seven, troubleshoot, iterate, and expand. Plus one, plus one, plus one for the win. Next big idea, anchor prompts. Quote, you already have a lot of reliable routines, and each of them can serve as an action prompt for a new habit. You put your feet on the floor in the morning, you boil water for tea or turn on the coffee maker, you flush the toilet, you drop your kid off at school, you hang your coat up when you walk through the door at the end of the day, you put your head on a pillow every night. These actions are already embedded in your life so seamlessly and naturally that you don't have to think about them. And because of that, they make fantastic prompts. It's an elegant design solution because it's so natural. You already have an entire ecosystem of routines humming along nicely. You just have to tap into it. Action prompts are so much more useful than person prompts and context prompts that I've given them a name, anchors. When talking about tiny habits, I use the term anchor to describe something in your life that is already stable and solid. The concept is pretty simple. If there is a habit you want, find the right anchor within your current routine to serve as your prompt, your reminder. Now, I selected the term anchor because you are attaching your new habit to something solid and reliable. Now that's from a chapter called Prompts, The Power of After, in which we learn about the most important part of our MAP equation, prompts. Note, in The Power of Habit, Charles Duhigg calls prompts a cue. In Atomic Habits, James Clear echoes the cue word as well. We could also call the thing that gets us to take action a trigger. Again, BJ calls it a prompt. Whatever we call them, we want to know this. I quote again, prompts are the invisible drivers of our lives, and no behavior happens without a prompt. Now here's something funny. Right after I typed that, my 1,000 second timer went off. As you know, that's my cue trigger prompt to get up and bang out a set of 11 burpees if I haven't hit 100 for the day yet. Once I've hit that target, the tiny habit is to simply stand up, and I can sit back down immediately if I want to. The example BJ refers to many times in the book is his tiny habit to do 2 push-ups after he goes to the bathroom while working from home. He connects the things we're already doing to the habits we want to create. One of the power words he uses to help us create new if-then algorithms that he calls habit recipes is after. After he goes to the bathroom, he does 2 push-ups. After I hear my 1,000 second timer go off, I do 11 burpees, or simply get my butt off the chair. After I wake up and do my morning hygiene stuff, I meditate. After I meditate, I do a quick stretching series. After I do that, I start my deep work clock, continue throughout the day. In the book, BJ provides 300 recipes for tiny habits, all of which follow this basic model. After I anchor, I will new habit. For example, he says, after my feet hit the ground in the morning, I will. After I brush my teeth, I will. After I walk in the door after work, I will. After I put my head on the pillow, I will. I'll answer that question after I've had a nice chat with the family. We're all in a family bed right now, which is incredibly sweet. I put the tape on my mouth. Got to breathe properly, folks. Then I will, what? I do my breath count 5 times. Inhaling to 6, holding for 1, exhaling for 8. 5 times calms the mind, ready for a good night of sleep. How about you? How can you anchor a new tiny habit after something you're already doing? P.S., I quote, you can disrupt a behavior you don't want by removing the prompt. This isn't always easy, but removing the prompt is your best first move to stop a behavior from happening. P.P.S., although BJ doesn't make the concept of algorithms a central part of his teaching, like we do in our work together, he does say this, quote, I now see this like creating computer code. If you get the algorithm correct, this behavior, then this behavior, then this behavior, and then bam, you have a reliable outcome, end quote. Algorithms for the win. Next, and final big idea, get your shine on, aka don't forget to celebrate. Quote, what might surprise you is this. In English, we do not have a perfect word to describe the positive feeling we get from experiencing success. I've read piles of scientific literature on related topics, and I've done my own research in this area. And I am convinced that we are lacking a good word. The closest label is authentic pride, but that's not an exact match. So, with the encouragement of three of the world's experts on human emotion, I decided to create a new word for this feeling of success. Ready? I call this feeling shine. You know this already. You feel shine when you ace an exam. You feel shine when you give a great presentation and people clap at the end. You feel shine when you smell something delicious that you cooked for the first time. He continues by saying, I believe my celebration technique is a breakthrough in habit formation. I hope you can see why. By skillfully celebrating, you create a feeling of shine, which in turn causes your brain to encode the new habit. If I could teach you tiny habits in person, I would start our training by focusing on celebrations. I would help you find celebrations that are natural and effective for you. We would practice them together and it would be a blast. I would train you in celebrations before teaching you about the FOG behavior model or the power of simplicity or anchors or recipes for tiny habits. Celebrations would be first because it's the most important skill for creating habits. End quote. Now that's from a chapter called Emotions Create Habits, in which we learn how to celebrate. When? Immediately. How? With intensity. Enter a feeling we all know captured in a new word, shine. Short story. Right after we do the tiny thing we said we'd do, we give ourselves a little fist pump and yes, or whatever it is you naturally do when you do something awesome. Take a moment and think about what you do when something awesome happens. What is it? Then do that as you install your tiny habit. The basic idea, when we do that immediately after taking action, not in a month after a bunch of little wins lead to a big win, but right after we do the tiny thing, we hack our brains to give us a little burst of dopamine that activates our reward centers and makes our habits much more likely to stick. And stick at a much faster velocity. Throw in a little with winning in mind, that's like me, and we're well on our way to creating an even more powerful identity. BJ also tells us, I quote again, celebration will one day be ranked alongside mindfulness and gratitude as daily practices that contribute most to our overall happiness and well-being. If you learned just one thing from my entire book, I hope it's this. Celebrate your tiny successes. This one small shift in your life can have a massive impact, even when you feel there is no way up or out of your situation. Celebration can be your lifeline. End quote. So, yeah, let's celebrate and get our tiny habit making shine on today. You figured out what your celebration technique is? Mine is literally a fist pump and a, yeah, we got this. What's yours? What do you do when you're fired up? Do that when you do these little tiny behaviors. It might sound silly, BJ tells us, but it is powerful. That was a crazy quick look at this book. I realized we covered a ton. The book is really, really densely packed with all the ins and outs of how to make small changes, change everything. Highly recommend it. Go get it. If you want to become a master at habit change, you really need to know what BJ Fogg thinks about the subject. Coaches, I'm especially thinking of you. Go get the book, digest it, master it for yourself and for others. For now, let's enjoy a few great quotes from the sidebar, then we'll wrap it up. BJ tells us, the essence of tiny habits is this. Take a behavior you want, make it tiny, find where it fits naturally in your life, and nurture its growth. If you want to create long-term change, it's best to start small. If there's one concept from my book I hope you embrace, it's this. People change best by feeling good, not by feeling bad. The way he addresses that is by making it easy to win and then celebrating those wins. How's that feel? Feels great. Coined a new word for it. You feel shine. You are much more likely to engage in the behaviors you want when you're feeling great rather than feeling bad and shaming yourselves. Create micro wins go from tiny to transformative. We didn't talk about it, but that's the basic idea. You start tiny, and then it naturally grows into transformative. BJ also tells us a behavior happens when the three elements of MAP, do you remember what they are? MAP, motivation, ability, and prompt, come together at the same moment. Motivation is your desire to do the behavior. Ability is your capacity to do the behavior. And prompt is your cue to do the behavior. B equals MAP. What's the equation again? If you feel so inspired, press pause, recall it, explain it to someone later today. Map out one of your behaviors on that model. That's how we learn. Make it stick. BJ tells us you can disrupt a behavior you don't want by removing the prompt. This isn't always easy, but removing the prompt is your best first move to stop a behavior from happening. Remember Emerson's advice to me, remove the prompt. Get the phone in the drawer, put a padlock on it. Even better, put it in the kitchen or in the hallway or in the bedroom somewhere far away. Remove the prompt. Fastest way to get rid of a behavior you do not want to engage in. BJ also tells us, here's a related insight that might begin to transform your life. It transformed mine. The easier a behavior is to do, the more likely the behavior will become a habit. This applies to habits we consider good and bad. It doesn't matter. Behavior is behavior. It all works the same way. BJ tells us we are not the problem. Our approach to change is. It's a design flaw, not a personal flaw. Love that distinction. A design flaw, not a personal flaw. If our attempts to create this habit don't work, we will troubleshoot, starting with the prompt. And we won't blame ourselves for lack of motivation or willpower. What we are doing is all about design and redesign. If we need to tap into willpower, we are doing it wrong. If we revise the prompt and make the behavior as simple as possible, and we still don't succeed, we'll back up and pick a different behavior, one that we actually want to do. In behavior design, we match ourselves with new habits we can do even when we are at our most hurried, unmotivated, and beautifully imperfect. If you can imagine doing the behavior on your hardest day of the week, it's probably a good match. You can't design behavior change for when you're most highly motivated. You need to design it for when you're least motivated. How? Make it easy. How? Make it tiny. BJ tells us once you remove any hint of judgment, your behavior becomes a science experiment. A sense of exploration and discovery is a prerequisite to success, not just an added bonus. How does a scientist approach a lab experiment? Like it's all data. Testing things. Neutrally analyzing and not getting emotional about it. Oh, this worked. This didn't work. Let me adjust again and again and again, reiterating until we get the design right. Then continuing to optimize. Finally, BJ Fogg tells us, you can now filter out all that noise and confusion about habits and human behavior because you know how behavior works. You know what to pay attention to and embrace, and what to ignore and discard. If an email from a friend comes through about a new exercise or diet program, a quick scan will tell you all you need to know. Will it help you do what you already want to do? Will it help you feel successful? The answers to those questions are freeing, because if the change program doesn't satisfy these two requirements, it's not worth your time. Does it help you do what you already want to do, and will it make you feel successful? Two other key themes to BJ Fogg's Tiny Habit Behavior Design Protocol. Hope you enjoyed. Again, we barely scratched the surface. If you felt some resonance with this, I think you'll really enjoy the full book. It is dense and great. There you go. What jumped out and landed? How can you apply it to your life today? Get on that. B equals MAP. Here's to the small changes that change everything. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this philosopher's note. Please go to optimize.me to download more.